Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
If you know Christ, you were not designed or called to journey through life alone. You're called to journey through life with a church family, striving together with one heart and one mind. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we learn how to strive together. You know, a lot of churches have lost the ability to stay unified, to stand together for the gospel, to strive together with one heart, one mind, and one spirit for the faith of the gospel. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to rediscover and begin discovering how to strive together. Welcome to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. And today we're going to study how to strive together. We're learning and relearning how to not go through life alone, but to arm in arm, heart to heart, shoulder to shoulder with our church family for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, strive together for the faith. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources there, a daily devotional, the Daily in the Word podcast, as well as Dr. Chappell's two newest books. The first one, Stewarding Life, a beautiful hardback book that helps you understand how to take one lifetime of limited resources and live it for eternal priorities. The second is a book entitled Sacred Motives, 10 Reasons to Get Out of Bed Tomorrow Morning and Live for God. Both of these books will encourage and strengthen your walk with God, and you can find out more about them at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today's text is Luke chapter 15. We're studying how to strive together for family restoration. Here's Paul Chappell.
This past week, Fox News reported that about 46% of all fathers between the ages of 15 and 44 indicated that at least one of their children was born out of wedlock. Think of that. Between 15 and 44, that 48% of the fathers said at least one of their children was born out of wedlock. Now let me say, if you've had a child born out of wedlock, and you're in church today, and you're influencing that child for God and for good, praise the Lord. But the sad truth of the matter is that most of those children born out of wedlock never know the loving hand of a father, never understand what it means to have a daddy say, "Let's go to church today," never have seen a dad open the Bible and read, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, among all adults in the survey, 57% said that they felt it was more difficult to be a dad and to raise children today than it was 20 to 30 years ago, and most of us certainly would agree with that. When it comes to spiritual life, the statistics are even more interesting to me. You see, when a child is the first one in the family to come to faith in Christ, about 3.5% of the time the rest of the family will come to Christ. When a mother is the first in the family to come to faith in Christ, about 22% of the time, the rest of the family will follow the mother into finding faith in Jesus Christ. But when a dad or a husband is the first one in the family to come to faith in Jesus Christ, then 93% of the time, the rest of the family will find faith in Jesus Christ. Even as the Philippian jailer who was baptized with his whole household, we see how important it is for the father to lead the family in the way of the Lord. And I believe today that God has designed and ordained the Christian family. By the way, the state of California did not invent the family. Therefore, no state, no legislature, no high court has the right to redefine what a family is. It's God's family that He ordained. And as God ordained the family, He intended the family to be a place of unity and a place where Jesus Christ is exalted. And yet we realize that in real life America, many families, even many Christian families, are not places where Christ is exalted, nor are they places where Christian unity may be found. And this morning, as you read with me this passage, perhaps you noticed that the story is about disunity. It's about a family that was torn apart because of sin and rebellion. And I would remind you this morning that this infallible holy book from which I preach is as relevant today as it was in eternity past in the heart and mind of God. In other words, this is not some old dusty book that doesn't speak about issues we face today, but in fact, it speaks to the heart of the very issues of life. And this morning, I want you to notice as we read in verse 11, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." Here we see a story of the destruction of family unity. Here we see a family beginning to experience those stress fractures that come when rebellion is present in the home. Family turmoil always begins with a rebellious heart. In this case, it was the son. Sometimes it's a husband. Sometimes it is a wife. But family disunity always begins when rebellion enters into the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23 says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. In other words, when there is rebellion in the heart, you in essence are giving place to the devil. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, neither give place to the devil. Because when a person is bitter against their spouse, it's like opening up the door and saying, "Come on in, devil, and see how far you can tempt us. See what how much damage you can bring to the family." When this boy opened his heart to the thoughts of the devil and the rebellious spirit of the devil, then a terrible work began unfolding in this family life. Now, what does a rebellious heart always do? A rebellious heart always focuses on self. That's all the rebel thinks about, himself. He doesn't care how much he's going to hurt his parents, how much she's going to hurt her parents, how much he's going to hurt his family. The rebel thinks about one person in a very narcissistic fashion. They want pleasure for self. That's all that really matters to a rebel. And that's exactly what we see in this young man's life. Verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." In other words, he didn't care that his mother might cry for 6 months after this. All he wanted was his stuff. He didn't care that his father, no doubt, would never be the same. All he wanted was his stuff right then and right there. He was focused on himself. And I again remind you that that spirit of rebellion, of selfishness, is not the spirit of Christ. And I believe we're all here today because we want to be more like Christ. But that spirit doesn't come from Christ. That spirit of rebellion that brings disunity to the family comes from Satan himself. Now just think about it. Some of you have read in the book of Isaiah when Lucifer rebelled against God in heaven. And the Bible says in Isaiah 14:12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt above the throne of the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." You see, Satan had a very good self-esteem. Satan was into self. Satan wanted to be number one. He said, "I will be like God." And that spirit of self-exaltation, demanding of rights of me and mine, does not come from Jesus, who humbled himself and took the form of a servant. That spirit that this prodigal son possessed came from rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft. And in his focus on self, this young man was uncaring. This young man was unthankful. All he wanted was his inheritance early and his good times to get underway. Why was this family struck with disunity? Because families are given so that the needs of others might be met. And when family members focus only on their needs, the seeds of destruction are sown. A focus on self. Secondly, this young man failed to honor his parents. He failed to honor his parents. The Bible is very clear in the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. Let's say that together. Honor. When I was a teenager living in Korea, my folks were missionaries at the time, and I was going through some of my teenage period where I was not always mindful of this as I should have been. But did you know that one of the things that convicted my heart in Korea was to watch the Korean culture? You see, in Korea, one of the things that is highly honored in the Oriental culture is someone of age, someone that is older in the culture is to be honored. And the way that the honor is oftentimes shown is not only by bowing, but also by bowing very lowly. And the lower the bow, the more the esteem and the respect for the person. Children in the Oriental culture, on the birthday of a father, on the 70th birthday, especially of a Korean man, bring great gifts and show great honor. And it is a part of their culture that I believe we need more of in America today. But the Bible says we're to honor. I want you to know, however, that when this young man went to his father and said, "Give me my money," he wasn't bowing, ladies and gentlemen. He was stiff and he was hard and he was showing forth the posture of rebellion, focusing on self, failing to honor his parents. Teenagers here this morning, you're not always going to agree with mom and dad, but you are commanded always to honor mom and dad. You are commanded to honor them. You are commanded biblically, and you will be blessed proportionately to the honor you show to your parents. Focus on self was his problem. Failure to honor parents was his problem, which led thirdly to forsaking his family. You say, when a married man focuses on self for an extended period of time, it won't be long until he leaves his family. This teenage boy focusing on self, it wasn't long, verse 13 says, and not many days, not too long after this whole thing started in his heart, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Proverbs 27 and verse 8, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. This young man wandered from his place. But Proverbs also says in Proverbs 23:19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guard thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and the drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. You see, this young man forsook his family and began following after sin and living in riotous living, and found himself far away from God, far away from his father. The Bible says in Romans 13:13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering. That speaks of just going around living an ungodly, immoral lifestyle, bed jumping, if you will, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see, this young man took this money, and he had one thing in mind, and that was the lust of the flesh. The problem was he was fooled by the devil. I'm told that the Eskimos up in the North Country, years ago when they would hunt for wolves, they would take a very sharp knife, a very long and sharp knife, and they would dip it into blood, maybe the blood of a caribou. And they would take some of the innards of that caribou, and they would also place that on the top of that knife. And then they would leave it out in the night to freeze, and they would freeze this amount of blood and guts onto a knife. This is Father's Day, ladies, so I can use this example here this morning. I would not use this on Mother's Day, but this is Father's Day. The Eskimos would take that frozen knife with all of the blood, then they would place it somewhere deep into the snow, out in the tundra, and they would leave it there. Sometimes a day or two or three later, a curious wolf would begin to circle around that conglomeration of frozen blood and innards. And after a while, the wolves would go and begin to smell the blood, and then they would begin to lick the blood, and they would lust for that blood. They would find that as they licked the blood would loosen, and they could taste more of the innards, and soon in their frothy lustfulness, they would lick and eat and devour, not realizing now that they were now tasting their own blood, not realizing now they were piercing their own tongue, not realizing now they were losing their own life because the Eskimos' plan had worked. And soon, the Eskimo would return to the spot and find a dead wolf not far away. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And you show me a young man or a married man or a woman that follows after their lust, and they'll think they're having a big time and it tastes good and it's a wonderful thing. What they don't realize is they are being fooled by the wicked one. Have you ever seen a young person go from one immorality to another, to drugs, to drink, to party, to piercing, to tattoo, and somewhere 4, 5, 10 years later they wake up and there's bags under their eyes and their health is gone and their looks are disheveled and their purity has been lost and they realize, what was I doing? All of the while, a mother, a father, a grandmother, they're saying, what's wrong with them? Why is this happening? Satan has been fooling them with his tricks. Look at verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into his fields to feed swine. You understand the story. He devoured his living, Luke 15, 30, living with harlots, the Bible says. Now he's out of money. Now the good times have stopped. The drink is not flowing. And the Bible says in Proverbs 21, 20, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Now he's on the side of the road by Target saying, I need some money. He's got a little cardboard sign. I'll feed your pigs. I had too much to drink. I had too much methamphetamine. I need some help. He's telling the world now. And some old boy says, hey, Jewish boy, go feed the pigs. Why, the Jews were not even to be around pigs. But for his own survival's sake, he's living with the pigs. The destruction of family unity always comes when there is a focus on self, when there is a failure to honor parents, and the forsaking of the family values that had been given. But notice, secondly, the decision for family restoration. Someone says, Pastor, sometimes I've experienced this in my life and in my family, and maybe you're a dad here today and you've got a wayward son or daughter, and maybe you've experienced that for a month or a year and you know that it hurts. How can we move from this point of destruction to the place of restoration? How does that happen? I mean, is there some counselor with a magic wand? How can we see families that seemingly are ripping apart get back together? I'm going to show you God's plan for family restoration. Notice, first of all, a very important statement in verse 17, if you would, please. And remember where he's at now. Remember where this young man is at. He's in the pig's pen. And notice what it says in verse 17. And when he came to himself. He's in the pig's pen. He's eating the food of the swine. And it says, and when he came to himself. All right, let's say that together. And when he... The first thing that must happen if a family's going to be restored is that there must be the realization of sin. We must call it what it is. Listen, not the rationalization. I will tell you what gets you into sin is rationalization. Saying, well, my wife's not a good woman. She doesn't meet my needs. That's rationalization. I will tell you what gets you into sin. Well, my parents are mean and they don't understand me, so I'm going to go do what my friends get to do. Their parents don't care. That's rationalization. That's what got you into the problem. Are you with me this morning? But what gets you out of the problem is realization of the fact that you have been duped by the devil, and this young man came to himself. Kent Hughes, in his book, The Disciplines of a Godly Man, wrote, and I quote, Diedrich Bonhoeffer made the observation that when lust takes control At this moment, Satan does not fill us with hatred of God, but with forgetfulness of God. When we are in the grip of lust, the reality of God fades. Do you think a young man who maybe was raised in a Christian home, as he's now in drink, or maybe as he's watching wicked things on certain pay channels, or maybe as he's with all these bombastic, cursing, ungodly friends who can't think in the any more worst of terms, as he's in that environment, it's not so much that this young man doesn't believe in God necessarily, it's that he has forgotten God. He's not thinking about God when he's there at the cage fighting party or wherever people go these days. It's not that he hates God, he just forgot God. But there comes a point in time when you hit bottom, and that's why sometimes the worst thing a parent can do for a backslidden child is to keep giving them money. Here's some money, honey. Hey, as long as they're doing this, as long as they're living like an animal, don't support their habit. Because at some point in time, they need to wake up and come to themselves. They need to wake up to what's going on. And notice 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Godly sorrow. In other words, before repentance even came, we're going to get to repentance in a moment, there had to be the realization, there had to be godly sorrow. He had to wake up in that pig's pen and go, I can't believe this. What am I doing? And you say, well, don't you feel sorry for people in the pig's pen? Yes, but sometimes it takes the pig's pen. Hey, sometimes it takes unemployment. Sometimes it takes being put out of an apartment. Sometimes it's going to take difficulty before someone will get right with God. And that's what it took for him. He had to have sorrow, the realization of sin. This past week, I was with my boys over in Arizona, and my son Matt was able to come over for a few days. And so I said to the boys and to the two sons-in-laws, let's go out golfing. And so we went out, and we were having a lot of fun. We were losing a lot of golf balls that day, just enjoying the fellowship. And it was hot. And Matthew kept reaching back. He was in my cart. He kept reaching back into the cart and eating ice. They had a little bucket full of ice. He just eating ice and eating ice and, I mean, just chomping on that ice, you know, having a good time with it. And I didn't think much of it. After a little while, Larry pulled up in his golf cart next to us, and he was just kind of saying hi, and we said hi. And Matthew's chomping on that ice, and he looked over at Larry's golf cart. There was a similar little bucket, and on the bucket there was a little sign that said, ice is not for human consumption. And he read it out loud. Ice is not for human consumption. I don't know why. I laughed harder at that than anything we did all week long. And Matt realized. He said, man, I've been eating this ice. He had probably eaten a gallon of that ice before. And he got out of our cart and he looked. And sure enough, right on our little bucket, it said, ice is not for human consumption. A few minutes later, a little lady came by in a cart selling soft drinks and stuff. And I said, ma'am, I saw the sign. It says, ice is not for human. Oh, yeah. She said a guy died from that a couple years ago. She's one of these real talkative gals. Oh, I think it was E. coli. And she's going on and on about it, you know. I mean, Matt had a sudden realization about that ice. And he repented of ice eating.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. He's teaching and preaching through a series entitled Striving Together. We're rediscovering church life, how to strive together with other Christians in a fruitful and faithful local church family. You can hear all of the broadcasts in this series when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Also, you'll find other resources like the Daily in the Word podcast or the devotional. We hope you'll subscribe to these and use them or pass them along to a friend. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcast. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chapel's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.